This episode of Ask Men's Health is brought to you by Musashi Nutrition, supporting everyday athletes in improving their performance. Welcome to Ask Men's Health, the podcast tackling the most important health and fitness questions according to you, our readers. You ask and we answer. In short, to the point summaries, we're here to tackle the science and need to knows behind some of the most talked about topics of the day. No bullshit, no filler, just expert advice you can trust. All right, welcome back to the revamped relaunch Ask Men's Health. I'm your host, Dr. Kieran Kennedy. I'm a doctor, psychiatrist, and just all-round Men's Health Mag fanboy. And so I'm really, really stoked to be jumping on board with the team. Got an absolute banger of an episode today, and it's a topic near and dear to my heart and to the hearts of a lot of you guys, I'm sure. We're tackling protein and protein powder basics. And this is one that I think has a lot of fact versus fiction flying around about it. It's got a lot of bro science and confusing information out there online. So I know for me in particular, I got a lot out of this episode alone, just whittling down things to some of the basics and some simple bits of advice to take home when it comes to choosing a protein powder and how to use it. So to help us with that, I'm really, really stoked to be able to intro today Diren Dunraj. He is a medicinal chemist and the product innovation manager for Musashi. So if anyone knows their protein powders, it's this guy. And it's safe to say that he's got us covered in this episode. We've run through some of the basics when it comes to protein and how and where we need to get it. And when it comes to protein powders, some of the new trends and how to go about choosing the protein powder that's right for you. So I hope you guys are going to enjoy this. I know I really did. Ready to dive in and enjoy. All right, guys, we are very, very excited to be here. This is ep numero uno. So really, really stoked to have Diren here. He is the project innovation manager with Musashi, and he's also a medicinal chemist. So basically that adds up to the fact that he knows his stuff when it comes to protein and protein powders and protein bars. So Diren, thanks so much for being here with us today, mate.
Thanks, Kieran, for the intro. Definitely something close to my heart as well. Love my protein shakes, protein powders, and drink it more than water nowadays. So yeah,
I was gonna say, I think a lot of us, including me, can relate to that. So I'm really excited about this. And like I say, even as a doctor, I think, you know, when you're into the gym, you're looking after your nutrition, you're thinking about protein and protein powders. There can be a whole lot of stuff out there, and a lot of it, let's be honest, is a bit more myth than fact, and a lot of it is a bit rubbish. So I'm really looking forward to throwing some questions at you, having you in the hot seat today as well. So maybe we'll start with asking sort of just a little bit about what you do for Musashi, Diren, and kind of what your work with protein and protein powders involves.
Yeah, I guess I've been with Musashi for almost 10 years now, so Musashi's made in New Zealand, but obviously it's an Aussie brand, started in Australia. So I used to be based in the New Zealand office as a product development technologist, mixing up protein powders, pre-workouts, all these kind of things. And then made my way over here to Australia. And now just work with the team, coming up with new products, you know, listening to our consumers, because they always got, you know, heaps of ideas on what to launch next.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of opinions about what they want with their protein and their pre-workout.
Exactly, and, you know, everybody's after new flavors and new things. So, yeah, basically, you know, helping the team bring out some new products.
Amazing. And I think it's awesome to have you here with us today because, like you say, from the medicinal chemistry front, you've been involved with actually putting it together. You know, I've got test tubes and stuff in my mind's eye right now, but I'm sure it's not quite like that. So, you know, as you say, you've moved through making it to now sort of managing and helping develop and innovate new products. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start with just the basic. What actually is protein and why do we need it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's three main macronutrients where you get your energy from: your food, carbohydrates, fat, and protein. Most people know roughly what protein is. Meat, certain parts of veggies contribute protein, but basically protein is a combination of amino acids, right? If you think of amino acids like letters of the alphabet, so amino acids are these small chemicals. Protein is a book, right? So you eat this book, digest it into amino acids, and it basically makes up most of your body. Apart from water, you're 80% protein, right? Your hair, your muscles, your skin, your major organs, all of these are made out of protein.
Amazing. And I love that description of, we want to eat that book because the book holds, as you say, a lot of different letters of the alphabet, and it's about hitting often all of those different ones, which probably leads us to another really common question, I think, is sort of where do we need to be getting our protein from? You know, do we need to be getting it from food and other sources? Do we need to be getting it from powders, or is it the same if we're using a powder or a supplement to get our protein compared to food? Where are we at with that?
Well, it's always best to eat food.
Good call. We like food.
Yeah, it's a common sense approach. But we always recommend a food first approach when it comes to protein. Most of your protein should come from your diet. But often people struggle to get enough protein in their diet. To get the optimal amount when it comes to training and performance, sometimes protein shakes are pretty useful, just to top up your diet. They also tend to absorb a bit faster. So, when it comes to timing, nutrient intake and things like that, protein shakes and even protein bars have a good role to play.
Yeah, awesome. And I think as a doc, that's what I often talk to people about as well. I think if we can be getting protein and getting our nutrition from whole foods that obviously offer up a lot of other things and benefits as well, maybe a bit of fiber in there too. I think that's a really nice place to start. But I agree, I think for a lot of us guys, especially when you're busy, especially when, let's face it, food is pretty expensive and things at the moment in the old supermarket shelves, a supplement or a protein powder is often a really nice way to make sure you're hitting those targets, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Somebody like me that has 150 grams of protein plus per day, mm-hmm. It's hard to fry that many eggs. It's a lot
absolutely.
Of eggs.
Absolutely. I mean, my mates will know, and they'll probably be laughing when they hear this, that I love a good boil up of eggs in the morning. But as you say, there's only so many eggs or pieces of steak you can really kind of eat in a day, so it's a nice way to top up, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And food prices are pretty high at the moment. A lot of people think protein powder is pretty expensive, but if you calculate it on like a dollar per gram of protein, it's not too bad. Yeah.
And as you say, convenience wise and things as well, I know a lot of guys, and for me as well, it's just it's an easy, quick way to get that nutrition in there, isn't it? So
exactly.
Probably tell that I'm a definite protein convert here slash gym nut.
No, I love it.
But yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that even as a doc, I struggled with a bit, Duren, and I know a lot of people ask, is around sort of how much protein we actually need a day. How much do we need just at baseline? How much do we need if we're trying to put on some muscle? These are really common questions, and I think it's what makes protein in particular a bit of a confusing part to the gym and working out for a lot of people. So how much do we actually need?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked it like that, because a lot of people don't separate the two. How much do we need is different for different people and different goals, right? So typically, most people would need about 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight. It's a pretty easy calculation to do. So that's kind of like the baseline, the minimum that almost everybody should be aiming for. But if you're an athlete, you're going to have higher demands for your recovery, for building muscle, for recovering from sports in general, no matter what sport you do or what your goal is. So typically athletes require around 1.4 to 1.6 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, which is basically twice as much. Mm-hmm. And depending on the sport, if you're like a power or a strength athlete, upwards of 2 grams per kilogram of body weight, which is quite a lot of protein. It's been shown to be pretty beneficial. Personally, I used to be a competitive powerlifter, and I used to always try and hit 2 grams per kilogram of body weight, which it's pretty hard to do with food alone, for sure.
Yeah, I feel you. I used to
actually compete in bodybuilding, actually. And for me, it was the same thing. It was sometimes really tough to get that amount of protein in. And so I think that's where, for me at least, powders and sort of supplements helped at times, on top of sort of a baseline sort of diet and getting it from whole foods. It was just a helpful way to top up and a convenient way as well, because there's only so much time in a day you can spend sort of chewing over steak or, as we said, boiling eggs. So that's really helpful to know. And I think it's important to flesh out that there's no one rule here, is it? It depends on the size you are right now. It depends on your training goals. It depends how active you are. And that is obviously because, Darren, if we're, for example, wanting to put down a bit of muscle, which I know a lot of guys are, sort of, is that because we sort of need to be in an excess when it comes to sort of having those amino acids there to lay down new muscle, as well as sort of replace muscle that we're, I guess, damaging if we're training and working out really hard?
Exactly. Like I said earlier, right, like you're mainly made out of protein. So, you know, when your body's rebuilding your muscles, and when you're recovering from exercise, mm-hmm. you're actually, you know, like you said, laying down new muscle, yeah. You know, increasing the size of these cells. And yeah, all of that requires protein.
Absolutely.
If you think of DNA, right? All DNA is a script for your body, or a recipe on how to use these amino acids mm-hmm. that you get through your diet, and how to build it into, you know, the different parts of your body.
Absolutely. So we need to kind of be making sure the building blocks are there to be able to sort of write those scripts and lay down the rest of your body, I guess. As you say, we are basically protein and water, I guess, when it comes down to us sloshing around in a you know, with some bones and a suit of skin on top of it. But
yeah,
that's a helpful way to think about it. Obviously, we've sort of touched on the fact that, you know, protein-rich foods, meat, eggs, often dairy, but we get protein from vegetables and things as well. When we're actually thinking about a protein powder, you know, I think if you look at the back of the sort of the box and stuff, sometimes, mate, it can look like a bit of a chemistry kit, to be honest. But you know, a question I've actually always wanted to prod someone about is how are protein powders actually made? Like it sounds like you've actually been in the lab kind of doing it yourself. So how did they actually get put together?
Yeah, so, well, you know, there's a few different types of protein powders out there at the moment, but we'll start with whey, because whey protein is, you know, by many measures, the best form of protein, which is why it's become so popular over the years. Basically, whey comes from milk, right? Mm-hmm. It's a dairy protein. If you think of how milk separates into curds and whey, all whey is the water-soluble protein from milk. So whey actually came from the cheese-making industry, so from cheese mm-hmm. and yogurt production. A byproduct was this whey protein, which didn't used to have too many applications, you know, back in the day. But nowadays what they do is they dry that fraction and, you know, it becomes this, they dry it, they filter it, and it becomes this nice powder, which you can, mm-hmm. you know, add water to and become soluble again. So what we do is we get this powder, this raw material, and we, you know, add certain things to it. We add digestive enzymes. We add, you know, flavors, all kinds of things to make it, you know, friendly for the everyday athlete. And, and you know, also tastes pretty good.
Yeah. And like I say, I think that's that's a key part to it, isn't it? You know, we want to not be tasting cardboard at the same time as we're having a protein shake before or after the gym. But, I mean, that leads me to something that actually I've been thinking about more. And it'd be interesting to see if you guys have noticed this in terms of consumers and things, Darren. But, you know, there's a bit of a push now for removing some of the excess from our sups, whether it be pre-workouts or proteins. You know, have you seen that there's a bit of a movement now towards more natural sort of type protein powders, or sort of powders that are made with less kind of additives and things like that? How's that kind of factoring into things at the moment?
Yeah, we have kind of seen that. I guess there's almost two parts to it, right? Protein powders have come a long way from where they used to be, you know, 15 years ago, to these, you know, wonderful milkshakes that we have today, right?
Yeah.
So people are almost used to that. You know, they've got pretty high standards when it comes to taste and texture and solubility. Whereas on the other hand, you know, people are moving away from, you know, what is the sweetener? I don't even know, you know, if there's no sugar in there, there must be something else in there that's making it sweet. So, you know, we use quite a variety of different sweeteners, and, You know, also there's, you know, flavors, natural flavors, artificial flavors out there, depending on the brands. So, yeah, there's a bit of a movement, but I would say, you know, currently taste trumps everything. So when it comes to certain sweeteners, you know, a lot of people don't really like the, you know, sweetness profile of them. So, you know, we've seen natural sweeteners like stevia become popular and almost become unpopular in a short period of time. So,
okay.
So yeah, there's always, you know, new technology evolving and always new natural ingredients coming out. So we keep on top of that and try to make sure our formulations are up to date.
Yeah, and that's so interesting, isn't it? Because as you say, it's not just about the protein and the nuts and bolts of how many grams per keg and things that we need to be laying down some muscle or supporting our training goals. It's, yeah, a whole lot of stuff that no doubt goes into the background as well in terms of taste and solubility. And yeah, I think we're pretty spoiled for choice these days with our protein powders, so a whole lot to consider.
On Ask Men's Health, we're always on the hunt for the most effective ways we can get fitter, sleep better, and look after our heart health. Basically, we're all about improvements to performance and recovery, especially when it comes to training and competing. Much like the team here at Men's Health, the crew behind Musashi are driven by innovation and efficacy, taking pride in supporting your health goals, no matter what they may be. Researched, tested, and specially developed products underpin their every move, and there's a Musashi product that will support your goals, whether that be speed, power, or focus. Head to Musashi.com for more info.
When it comes to actually how the powder impacts us physically in terms of our training, do some of those additives like digestive enzymes and things, do they actually make a difference, Darren, or are they like a little bit of marketing spin? Like, I won't put you in the hot seat too much, but you know, in terms of the medicinal chemistry and the actual, you know, the real deal side of it, do those things make a difference in terms of how the protein impacts us and our training goals?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to consuming protein, if you've never had 200 grams of protein in a day and you suddenly have 200 grams of protein in one day, your body's just not going to handle it, right? So, you know, the same thing goes on a lower extreme, right? When, you know, you're increasing and decreasing your protein as your, you know, training or lifestyle requires, you know, sometimes it does take a bit of adapting to. So what we do, I mentioned digestive enzymes, is we actually add the enzyme papain, which comes from papaya for, or pawpaws, right? And we add that to our protein shakes, which actually helps break down the protein. So like I mentioned, you know, protein's a book. When you digest it, it gets broken up into, you know, these amino acids. So if you think of protein like a string, these enzymes, proteases, they actually cut up the string in your stomach, and you know, in this acidic environment of your stomach, and help you digest these amino acids a lot better, a lot faster, and a lot more completely.
Absolutely. So like you say, kind of ripping the pages out of the book and then pulling the letters off the pages so that we can absorb it faster, but so that those letters actually go into building that script, like you say, for new muscle and for laying down all those different parts that we're hoping to bulk up and shape up and whatever our training goals are. So no, that's a really good way to describe it. In terms of what we should be looking for if we're thinking about a protein supplement or a protein powder, I mean, what would your go-tos be there? Again, it probably depends on, you know, your age, your size, your training kind of requirements and goals, but what would be some sort of major tips you'd have for a guy kind of looking at buying some protein and what to look out for?
Yeah, I guess there's a few things to consider, right? So protein quality is a big one. And by quality, you know, there's a few different like technical measures of what makes a good protein shake. So whey is generally the best protein, but a lot of people can't actually, you know, tolerate dairy products, for example. So this is why we've seen some people move to plant protein, right? So, you know, whey when it comes to recovery is pretty much the best. But, you know, some people want to put on some size. So often we have these blends with protein and carbs, you know, make it easier to get your, you know, additional requirements.
Yeah, pump your calories up. And
exactly, pump your calories
make
up.
Make sure you're getting the pasta alongside the eggs in that shake, yeah.
Exactly, good analogy. And then, you know, we also have these lean protein shakes, which have a bit of, you know, thermogenic ingredients that actually help you you know, help your metabolism a little bit while you're digesting the protein. So really it depends on your goals. Our packaging makes it pretty clear, you know, depending on your goals, whether you want to put on size, recover from your sports, or, you know, depending on your preference with dairy or not.
Awesome. So kind of, again, not just taking it as something that's a blanket thing, but tailoring it to your actual goal is probably a really good way to think about it, isn't it? Because it probably simplifies it a bit, you know, and also kind of takes the guesswork out of it. That's a really good point, though, actually, around moving away from whey proteins and into the more plant-based proteins. You guys must have seen a huge pickup in that, because I think we've definitely seen more of them on the shelves. So yeah, there must be a lot greater demand, and probably that links in with a lot of guys and girls these days thinking more about, you know, sustainability, the impact on the planet and things when it comes to dairy products and production. But as you say, also just maybe from a health perspective, kind of wanting to bump up the plant-based sort of nutrition that they have in their diet.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen like a massive shift recently in, you know, in plant-based proteins. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just vegans. It's like you said, some people just want to include more plant into their diet. So, you know, whey protein over the years has got this reputation as the best protein because of its amino acid profile. You know, it's got all the amino acids you need to build muscle. And plant protein has never really had that over the years because, you know, there are 20 amino acids, right? 20 letters of the alphabet. 11 of these your body can make, but 9 of them you need to get from your diet. So these are called essential amino acids, and typically plant proteins didn't have all of these. So, you know, what we've done is we've combined different sources of plant proteins together to provide, you know, the full set of amino acids. So we've got, you know, in our Musashi plant protein, we combine pea protein, brown rice protein, and chia seed protein, combine it all together, and it has a pretty good amino acid profile. So, you know, it's basically as good as some of the dairy proteins when it comes to recovery nowadays, but also it doesn't have this, you know, dairy origin that, you know, some people tend to avoid.
Yeah, awesome. And I hadn't actually thought of it that way, but you're right, you know, in terms of the nuts and bolts of a pea versus a you know, brown rice has protein, but different amino acids make up the protein within those different sort of plant based sort of foods. So that actually makes a lot of sense that for you guys, it's combining those different sources to make sure that protein still has, you know, that really strong sort of group of amino acids that you'd be getting from a dairy product as well. Do they taste good, Duren? I mean, I'm sure you're going to say yes, but I think early on, right, that was one of the concerns that a lot of people, including myself, had with plant sort of protein powders, is that they were, you know, compared to the whey ones, they were a bit different in terms of how they tasted and how they mixed and things. Do you think we're kind of, the technology and things is moving a long way from where plant proteins started?
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely come a long way. You know, first time I had pea protein, I thought I was drinking, you know, like a pea milkshake, right?
Yeah, so I think I tried to mix mine with oats, which is like my favorite way to have protein powder is protein and oats, as we used to say in my old med school flat. But I think the first time I tried to mix a pea protein into that, it made like some cement type mixture, and I actually couldn't eat it. So yeah, I think they've come a long way, as you say, haven't they?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I actually have pea protein every morning now, or plant protein, and the taste and texture has come a long way, right? The texture was probably one of the main differences. It's not as smooth, not as milky. Obviously, it's not a dairy product, so it doesn't have that, like, same milk, you know, milkshake feel that people were used to. But, yeah, definitely come a long way. You know, we've added different fibers and things to it just to make sure, make it as close as possible to a dairy milkshake without having any dairy in it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think kind of pivoting away from how it's made and what's in it, one of the questions that I get quite a bit, and even as a doctor, is sort of around the safety of protein powders and whether we're having too much protein. And I guess I do want to call out that for people with, you know, certain health conditions, especially kidney conditions and things, it's important to probably check in with your doctor before you're looking at any kind of supplement or sort of nutrition plan for your training goals. But what do you think are some of the main kind of concerns that people have around protein that you guys have seen, Duren? Like, are there some common sort of things that you think put people off protein powders, or are there common myths that you sort of see out there that probably drive you crazy when you see them because you actually know what's going on behind the scenes?
Yeah, 100%. You know, there's a lot of myths and a lot of bro science out there.
Yeah. We love a bit of bro science in the gym, don't we? But it doesn't serve us that well in our training goals when it's actually not science at all.
Yeah, maybe the most popular myth or bro science would be the anabolic window, right? So legend had it that if you didn't have your protein shake, you know, within 20 minutes of a workout, you're wasting your workout. But, you know, that's not true at all, right? The most important thing is your total daily protein intake. And, you know, timing's one of the least important things to worry about. So.
And, I was just going to say, I can put my hand up and say when I first started going to the gym in uni and stuff, I had fallen into that bro science trap. And I remember trying to rush home after the gym and not have any interruptions because you needed to, you know, keep yourself from wasting away or not waste the workout. I'm very glad that we can stamp that one as a firm bro science myth. Thank you for that, mate.
Well, you know, it's still important to get protein after your workout, but it's the 20-minute part is a bit exaggerated. You know, you probably have a few hours to eat something.
100%. And as you say, I think the most important thing with nutrition, whatever you're doing, is what you're doing across the day and across the week, isn't it? I think some of those myths and some of that quote unquote science around timing and type and all of these different things, I think it can make it really overwhelming for some guys when it comes to trying to work this out for their training needs. But it also just, you know, it's, you're not doing yourself any favors actually if you're smashing a shake back 5 minutes after the workout versus a couple of hours when you get home, you'll still be getting those gains.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the other myths, I guess, are, you know, if you have too much protein, it's bad for you, right? Well, if you have too much of anything, it is bad for you. But the hitting this upper limit of protein is probably a lot harder than a lot of people think, you know. Of course, like you mentioned, if you have some medical conditions, it's a different story. But for most people, you know, the upper limit of protein's probably a lot higher than what they think it is, and probably even a lot higher than what they can achieve on a regular basis.
100%. And, you know, this is, I think, something that's still being actively investigated, obviously, in the worlds of biology and medicine and health. But as you say, I think it's reassuring that for most people, if you fit and well and don't have any major health conditions, the studies that I've seen so far anyway indicate that at the moment we don't see any long-term negative effects from having a sort of a higher level protein intake day to day. But as you say, we will push that if you're considering supplements and things at all, especially if you've got medical conditions you need to see the doctor about, talk to your doctor about it first.
So, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I guess as we kind of get near to wrapping up, Duren, I've, you know, we've smashed through some myths and little pearls of wisdom there pretty quickly, actually. But what will kind of your main piece of advice be for someone who maybe hasn't tried a supplement before? What would sort of you advise them to do or to look out for?
Yeah, my main piece of advice to anybody starting out would be to experiment, right? You don't know what works for you. You don't know what works for your lifestyle until you play around with things a little bit. So, for example, if you're just having one shake per day, for some people that's better in the morning. For some people that's better straight after your workout. So, experiment with products. Experiment with, you know, how it fits into your routine. And, you know, above all else, consistency trumps everything. So it's what you do on a regular basis rather than, you know, what you do now and then. So, yeah.
Amen. And I think, you know, I won't. Probably anyone knows that the type of medical work I do is mental health and brain type work. So I promise I won't get too psyche with it. But, you know, I think when it comes to training goals and protein and nutrition, that's one of the keys, isn't it? It's not kind of overthinking it or getting too into the hour by hour, minute by minute. It's kind of, as you say, mate, consistency is key, and it's drawing it out and looking at your nutrition and sups and things day to day and week by week.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, thank you so much, Duren. Super interesting, especially in terms of how things actually get put together and some of the trends and blends we're seeing when it comes to sort of plants and flavors and different things. So thank you so much for joining us today and having that chat.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It was a great chat. Glad to see, a fellow protein consumer.
Always. Well, I think there'll be plenty more behind the AirPods listening to this right now, mate. So, maybe thanks from all of us for keeping us stocked up with powders and flavors and, keeping us going in the gym.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. Thanks heaps, mate.
All right, cheers. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I hope you got a lot out of that episode. I know I did. If you enjoyed it, please rate, review, and subscribe to keep up to date with when our latest episodes come out. And I look forward to seeing you all again then.
This episode of Ask Men's Health was brought to you by Musashi Nutrition, supporting everyday athletes in improving their performance.